Hello, and welcome to Take Note, a podcast about keeping a notebook and chatting with my good buddy, Ted. Ted, what's new?
What's new? Hurricane season has begun. Huzzah, it's like a national holiday here in Houston, Texas. Battening down the hatches. Good times.
I was upset to learn this week that hurricane season will not be over when I visit Texas from October 25th to October 30th. That it's still late hurricane season. And I felt bad that instead of worrying about you for all of hurricane season, that I was worrying about myself for 5 days and how it could impact me as opposed to the entire city who has, what, I don't know, 100 days of hurricane season?
Well, I'm glad you brought this up. I hope that you worry about me for every single one of those 100 days of hurricane season.
Yeah, it's more than 100, that is, probably, right?
I don't know. I haven't counted. But I'll give you your 5 days.
Okay.
It sounds quite dramatic, but really most of the time it's kind of chill. That's sort of how hurricane season works.
Yeah, that's what they say about hurricanes. Kind of chill. Ted, on our show...
Yes.
We ask each other what we've written in our notebooks, which is a ridiculous premise for a podcast. And yet, here we are, and I'm going to ask you, what do you got, Ted?
Well, as I explain it to people, that's, you know, maybe half of the podcast. On a good episode, 70% of the podcast. But we cover topics and other topics of that nature, right? Anyway, here's what I've got. So I took a trip to Washington, D.C. recently for work. And that's where my take notes, the traveling alone scenario is where most of these take place. So I was in the hotel bar the first night I got there.
Most people know that you're a U.S. senator? and so you have to travel to D.C.
We were waiting for our flight to D.C., actually in Houston, and I looked over and saw a group of people wearing NASA polo shirts. And I thought, that's the coolest thing ever. And then I thought, oh yeah, this is the flight to D.C. These people are going to do something very important. Okay, so on to something completely unimportant, which is me sitting in the hotel bar before the conference began, overhearing a conversation between two people who clearly had just met. So tomorrow we're meeting my husband's friends. The guy says, oh, they're your friends too, right? Oh, yeah, she says, through marriage. What do you got, Adam?
You know, I was just thinking as you were saying that, I don't like people who've just met. I don't like the awkward back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like the determining how much you're going to share or not share. The opening and the closing of the metaphorical gate of sharing. I don't like
any
of that.
Are you saying that you don't like to be in that scenario or you don't like to overhear?
No, I don't like to observe it.
Observe, yes. It's like when you're in it, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's normal to meet new people, I've been told.
Mm-hmm.
Observing it... You get the feeling like this is the worst thing ever.
Yep.
And I felt that way. I did.
I don't even like that joke, really. Like, I like that you didn't like through marriage. It's probably not even a joke. They just didn't know what to say. They were awkward.
No, it was not a joke. What do you got, Adam?
I don't know. I'm really negative. But anyway, I was at Lulu Cafe in Logan Square, sitting at the restaurant bar, and there's a guy
talking to someone you just met.
No. There's this guy. He gets. He's real proud. He announces to the bartender that he's gonna try not to look at his phone the whole time he's sitting there, because I don't want to be a jerk. He says. She didn't ask him. You know, he's just sharing all this, like two people who've just met. Anyway, a minute, 2 minutes passes. He pulls out his whole laptop and gets to work at the bar. So proud not to be on his phone. What do you got,
Ted? Hilarious. Let's see. Let me flip through my craft edition field notes here. So I actually took this note. So this is the note itself, quoting directly: "Traveling for work and really missing my fanny pack right now."
Fanny packs are in, man. Belroy's got a fanny pack sort of thing. A man purse, maybe. Maybe it's more of a man purse.
Yeah. Well, fanny pack is a very... It's a specific piece of equipment, not to be confused with a man purse. Suspended from the waist, I think, is really the distinguishing factor, which can be quite satisfying.
Are you usually... are you wearing a fanny pack sometimes?
I will wear a fanny pack on a weekend when I really just don't feel like saddling up my pockets with my everyday carry. So I'll throw on a fanny pack. And the other great thing about it is it's all your stuff contained. So let's say you're going to the beach and you got a swimsuit on. First of all, you don't want to fill up a swimsuit's pockets with your dumb keys, but then also when you're ready to
edition field notes, and that's what I did.
Right, you can tuck a field notes. They fit quite well into your average fanny pack.
Okay, but by expedition
your average
goes
fanny,
in your swimsuit pocket.
by average fanny pack, I mean the one fanny pack I've ever used in my whole life, being the one I own.
Is the fanny pack is it sitting on your hip? Is it sitting? Is it flipped around? Is it sitting on your butt?
Well, it depends, Adam. Depends on the situation.
Well, I don't want you to have to share any personal information, but right.
I appreciate that.
But tell me more.
Okay, if I'm walking down the street, I'll spin it around to the posterior region.
Okay.
When I'm hopping into the Nissan Xterra, I will spin it around to the front in order not to disturb my seated positioning.
Yep.
That also makes it more accessible to grab the wallet if you need to, or if you need to take a note down in your craft edition while you're going 80 down the interstate. sometimes I'll slide it to the side in certain select situations.
He's feeling a little funky.
But I think the real key is that you're adapting to every scenario. There's no one answer. Where do you keep your fanny pack? It's a flexible tool.
I would be constantly moving it. It would basically be circling my waist like a...
some sort of a gyroscope.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking of the... can't think of the name. Frisbee, not Frisbee. Hula hoop.
It would be...
Hula hoop. Like a hula hoop. I was blinking on the word hula hoop.
Yeah, it would be like you were the sun and the fanny pack was, let's say, Venus.
Yeah.
There's something to that, and it definitely takes on the character. You tap your keys, tap your wallet, tap your phone in every pocket. That energy is definitely transferred to the fanny pack. So there's a lot of double checking that the zipper's closed and making sure that the weight is, that it's got all your things. And I did advance to a new level of fanny pack work when I standardized the positioning of all of my components, the field notes, the wallet, the keys nestled next to them in the same position, sort of northward. Mm-hmm. If you're orienting as if my face is pointing north, keeping those keys northward, wallet and field notes southern, phone to the east.
That's
what do you got,
Adam? That's very impressive. I like it. What do I got? I was in the same bar, and there was this long-haired guy named Austin who was talking pretty aggressively at his date. He was saying a bunch of stuff. I just overheard bits and pieces of it, including he said... where is it now? One second. No, it's here. Okay. All right. This, he's sort of aggressively talking to his girlfriend or whatever. He said, people can change. People can also not change. Both of those things can be true. That's not a logical argument. And he said something desperate for someone to take away your freedom. Something, so I feel like Sam needs someone to call. Something, talk him out of his own shit. And then the story just fizzles out with, yeah, all these things happened.
I can't help but feel like every statement he made was about his hair.
No, he was way too serious for that. I would have liked that. And poor woman next to him was just like nodding, you know, the whole time. Yeah. Shotgun through the roof, he said. It's a catch 22. Yeah. But he was really upset, some guy named Sam. Sam wasn't even there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sam's got a buzz cut.
Maybe.
No free, aka no freedom. Is it weird that anytime someone says, is it weird that, you know that they're just asking for you to say, no, it's totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
Is it weird that I am trying to get myself to use more commonly held like cliches?
No.
I've had that thought. Like, fold in a few more cliches. Make yourself sound a little more familiar to your audience.
You want aphorism that somebody can identify, right?
That makes him feel comfortable.
You're trying to be folksy. You're trying to affect a folksy nature.
I want to connect with people on their level.
Yeah. Ted, what do you got?
What do I got? Okay, back in Washington, D.C. I was taking a little walk toward the Adams Morgan neighborhood, which is where our hotel was located. Beautiful neighborhood, great walking. Someone, when I got back, said, oh, you mean Fradams Morgan? I was like, yeah, well played. Standing at an intersection, waiting for the light to turn, a woman who's clearly a tourist with her husband in tow, she approached, and while we were all waiting for the light to turn, there were a couple guys, a couple fellas, sort of sweaty dudes, like jogging in place next to me, and I was very clearly not a jogger at the time. And the light turns, the joggers jog off, the woman turns to me and says, hey guys, which way to the metro?
She just called you guys.
And there were no guys.
You were the guys.
It was just me.
She was a tourist. Her husband was a tourist through marriage.
Yeah, through marriage. I showed her where the metro was, which I was kind of excited to actually know where it was because I had just asked someone at the hotel about 45
seconds. It's always
fun
when you're in a not in your city and you're able to give somebody directions.
There must be a special voice for that. Oh, you're right. Yeah. Oh, your metro. You're going to want to go like overconfident direction giver.
I was in Florence, Italy once and was giving Italians directions back from an Eric Clapton concert in like the outskirts of Florence. And I used that voice. Yeah, you're going to want to. And then at the end of the prego. I said prego a lot.
Prego.
Yeah.
What else you got, Adam?
All right. So my notebook has been going a lot like this lately. Some kid at the birthday party where we were watching the movie interrupted him 3 times to have him take him to the bathroom. Maybe not. This does not write better, larger. No, does it work better now? Test. May 19th. Today is May 19th. Not sure about this pen nib, but maybe it's great. Maybe. A little hard to tell. Do you know where my book is? Yes, I do. Where is it? Coffee table. Frosting. Tasting. Frosting. Topo Chico. It seems like this is a common issue. Got 99 problems, but my fine nib is number one. And so this gets to our topic, which
yes.
is that I got a Kaweco AL Sport Black Maybe just Kaweco AL Black. We'll put in the show notes the exact name with a link to it on JetPens. And it comes with an extra fine nib. And the Kaweco nibs in general have kind of a known issue. Just so happens that as I was having this issue, an episode about the Pen Addict went up on this. I think I didn't listen to it because I kind of thought we should have our own things to say about it for this episode instead of just repeating what they said. And this particular Kaweco pen, the all black, is somehow even worse. Is kind of unwritable. But it inspired me also after writing on another page, testing, in spite of ourselves, John Prine, ink nib, nib. It inspired me to ink up my other fountain pens, a Kaweco Sport Ice, I think, or maybe just Kaweco Ice in orange, and a Recife pen, maybe the Recife Slim, I'm not sure. And I started using those pens again. So I need to get this nib fixed or replaced. The fine people at JetPens sent me the instructions on cleaning a nib, which I'd already found on their website. But, you know, I need to get this nib fixed. But in the meantime, the lousy nib has inspired not only this high-quality podcast content, but me bringing out my other fountain pens and using them more.
So, I mean, it's funny to me that you are not really a regular fountain pen user.
I'm a pen in the pocket kind of guy, so I really like the fountain pen, but that's just a level of danger that I'm not comfortable with.
Well, you know, and I think it's because I use one of several pretty, well, quite regularly that I just sort of forgot that you don't. So it's, I like that you're kind of getting in the zone a little bit. Like, and when you use a fountain pen, you do have to accept a certain amount of, like, you may have to do some work and do some weird fixy things and change out inks.
This is not that. I want to be clear. This is worse than that. But yeah, I agree.
Right. No, the known issue is it's obviously troubling. And my
wife got me two pens for my anniversary. She got me a Kaweco Lilliput and a Kaweco Known Issue All Black.
Did you say to her, "I've encountered a known issue, sweetie"? I appreciate the sentiment, but I'm really stepping in it here.
I think she feels bad because she had read that. This pen in particular, some of them have nib problems, and I think, you know, like anybody else, you just assume, I'm sure they got this fixed. Like, why? How can you sell a pen that's this expensive? It doesn't work. But yeah, so I think she feels bad. We're gonna get it fixed.
It's a handsome pen, though. Am I right about that?
The nib is black too. It is a
That's cool.
It's like a matte black. All of the pen is a matte black. Matte black, and the nib is a black as well. It's a really cool looking pen.
So the pen is a Matt LeBlanc.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
With a known issue.
Yep.
Well, I mean, we're Kaweco fans, I would say, generally.
Mm-hmm. We were.
I have a gray light plastic one, and I think the nib is I don't know. I'm getting almost to the point where I find something with every nib is I don't know. My Twisby's been pretty fantastic, but the Kaweco's a little sticky. It's a little sticky, but these are entry level. Yours maybe not so much, but the one I have is entry level pricing, entry level kind of build and heft and everything. But there is a little more of that gamble involved. But hey, I don't know. I think it's kind of cool that it got you back on the kick of figuring out what's in your inventory and pulling them out and seeing how those feel.
I think it's really cool, too. I would think that a company that's got a known issue with the nibs would maybe just throw a few extra nibs in every package with a new pen. That seems pretty reasonable to me. I also wonder, what do you think? This is an extra fine nib, and I got to be clear. This is not me being a little, like, This is not a little stickiness. This is a problem. But yeah. Do you think that I'm thinking just switching it up to like a medium nib, in assuming the medium they'll sell you a all black nib in medium. I'm thinking that's going to solve my problem.
I think getting a new nib is essential.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to pay somebody to grind that thing down.
Right.
You're not at that level. So you got to get a new nib either way, but also you're a big fan of a heavy ink load, of a big line.
Yep.
You're all over the place. You're letting it all hang out there.
Okay.
This is my cliches so that I'll be more relatable.
That's heavy ink load web, letting it all hang out.
You're playing it fast and loose.
Okay.
Right.
What else you got? Give me another cliche.
You're I just threw four at
you. Yeah, now I wanted to hear number five and number six.
So I would say go
outside
for it.
Outside the box.
You're thinking outside. You're writing outside the box. You don't stay with inside the lines.
There you go.
Okay. You gave number five and I gave number six. So good God, please. This reminds me, I got into a pun battle with a friend. He started some sort of cat pun scenario, and we went back and forth. Actually, it's still going. Why should I pretend like it's not? But a lot of cat puns over text messages. For example, it's an absolute biargen. You're not kitten. Perfect response. And this all started from Mike Birbiglia's bit about Catsachusetts. He sent me. Have you heard that?
I don't know. I think I've seen the.
It's all you can find it on YouTube. It's a whole bit about Catsachusetts. But he sent me a postcard for Catsachusetts, and I said, "Only a dollar for that catster piece." He said, "Catsachusetts, just a short drive from Mew, Hampshire."
Mm-hmm. I don't.
Anyway.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, it's good.
Is this relatable? I feel like that's my... People like cats, right? I don't like cats very much, but people do.
Ted, I just want to, before we go on, are you having some sort of existential crisis?
What is this? This is Tuesday.
You're trying to use cliches to be more relatable, and you're like, people like cats, don't they? Do people like cats? I want to tell you how much people like cats. We had a cat. We were a little cat household until a few years ago. Our cat passed away. We decided to become a dog household. My 9-year-old now just says that he wishes that we had a cat again, even though he loves his dog. And I've explained to him, not in quite as blunt terms, that we're not going to have a cat and a dog at the same time. So maybe we'd get a cat if and when our dog passes away. So now, every once in a while, he'll just go, I really want another cat, but I know we can't get one until Charlie dies.
When's he gonna die, Daddy?
Yeah, I mean, it's not that, but it's almost that. Yeah.
It's unspoken, but it's built in.
I mean, it's just, he's a sweet kid, but he's also just like, is that Don still? Yep, okay.
Well... If there's one thing that is going to cure an existential crisis of mine, it would be walking through the doors of Washington, D.C.'s own Jenny Bick Custom Journals. They have a couple names for their ventures, but this is a store in the DuPont Circle neighborhood.
The D.C. of D.C.
D.C.'s D.C. That I planned ahead, put it on my itinerary, rode one train stop to get there, and it is a fantastic place. So as I was planning for my trip, I put a call out on Twitter for some great stationary stops in DC, and not a single one of you people gave me any tips, so I was forced to head over to Google, and there they were, and this is... from the displays and the big glass doors in the front window to the wall of Leuchtturms of every color with a rainbow to your left when you walk in, to the oceans of leather notebooks of every size that they make themselves to the right, and all manner of other notebooks.
A forest of other notebooks, maybe.
A forest.
We got really a wall, a fantastic place. We got ocean. I've added a forest.
A desert of, if like grains of sand in the desert, so are these Nemesine and Traveler's notebooks and et cetera opening up before you. And just enough pens to be fantastic. It's really a store that, for me anyway, felt like it was designed with me in mind. And so I did want to mention it on the podcast. It was really great. I picked up a Lamy Safari.
Oh, great.
Fountain pen that I had my eye on. I have the others. I've got a Twisby. I've got a Pilot Metropolitan. I've got a Kaweco. And the Lamy's kind of the other sort of link in the chain of affordable fountain pens. And I had never actually given one a try. So I was able to pick one up there. And the other super fint, and I love it, by the way. The nib is just, you couldn't ask for more out of a nib. A fountain pen nib that just writes smoothly, doesn't frustrate, just couldn't be happier with that German engineering.
I got a question about the Lamy Safari, about your opinion on it.
Yes. Yes.
So I think my Lamy, what are we going to...
I go with Lamy. I don't know why.
Okay. That wasn't the question, actually. I mean, that was a question, but it wasn't the question. If I remember correctly, that's like a $20 pen. Is that about accurate?
I think it was... There's probably a little retail markup, okay. But I think it was $35 or something like that.
Let's say that you can get it for $20, because $35 is going to answer my question. If you can get it for $20, is that not like just a great like little business gift around the holidays for everybody? Just get people like a starter fountain pen.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah. Anybody you got to get a gift for. Starter fountain pen. People going to like that?
I think so.
Or just stationary podcasters like us?
I mean, I think you will find those people who are kind of averse to it because it, I don't know, feels weird or feels outdated or something. But if you... I don't know, if you have a sense that someone might be kind of aesthetically drawn to it, at least in a general level, I think it's a great thing.
What about as a not a personal gift, but as like a generic gift? You know, like I need to get 20 people something. What do you think?
Maybe border. I mean, I feel the same way about a fountain pen as I do about a notebook, where it's like, I think it's a great gift, but do 80% of the population feel that... They're just going to throw it in a drawer. I can't answer that question. I'm in too deep.
Yeah.
You know, what I'm saying is I want you to get me a Lamy Safari for Christmas is what I'm saying.
With gift giving, there's a funny... although you've got one. What color is yours?
Mine's red. Okay, so maybe
that's cool.
The demonstrator was pretty neat, too.
I think that's the thing with gifts. So there's kind of a funny thing with gifts where it can be a successful gift that someone does nothing with, right? If you wow somebody, you can't ask of a gift that the person actually uses it, because people's lives are. But if you know people's lives are busy and you know things get complicated, things end up in a desk drawer. Really, all you need from a gift is for a person to be happy to receive it. You don't really need them to use it, right?
That's a good point. I think the Lamy, in particular, is a unique design object.
Yeah, I agree.
It's brightly colored. It has a unique shape. It looks cool and sleek. I don't know. It's got that, shelf shine. What?
You got to work on these cliches. What if we said, I don't think this is a cliche, but this is how maybe a human would talk, shelf appeal. Like shelf appeal?
Curb appeal is what
no,
it is.
No, I know, but I've changed it to shelf appeal.
Shelf appeal, that
sounds
almost
nice.
Worse.
Almost worse, not worse.
Oh, man.
Well, this has been, sorry for this brief return of the 2018 holiday gift guide. I was just curious.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. We're getting ahead of ourselves. Yep. The Independence Day shopping season. No, but I had to think about a graduation gift recently, and I think that's the perfect one for a pen. Like, a friend's parents got me a cross pen back in 2002.
Yeah.
And I was so touched because I, you know, they're parents of my friend.
Right.
But they put enough thought in, and it was a ballpoint, but it was just great, and I kept that thing for 20 years.
I never realized that my parents got you a cross pen.
But so I think it's, you never quite know, and if it's something that's thoughtful and just cool enough to be cool, it could go somewhere.
Yeah.
So... my big shout out to Jenny Bick Bookbinding. Oh, dadgummit. The Pièce de la Résistance. The real shelf shine on this rack of podcast content. I bought a nice, very nice leather refillable notebook cover from Jenny Bick, and this is the Around the World Refillable Leather Journal, which is, you know, they had a lot of sort of already built notebooks with paper, which is fine. They were very nice, but I was more interested in something that was field notes adjacent. And so I asked if they had something that would fit a field notes. They directed me to this great cover. It's just a nice piece of leather. It's got the traveler's notebook style elastic stuff in it. Mm-hmm. So you can actually strap two field notes into it at one time, which is from a functional level pretty cool. It's a great way to always have two going, but the one of them can be like your old one that you're not quite done with the to-do lists yet. So you don't want to just scrap it, but you need space for transcribing other people's conversations as they get to know one another.
Yeah, the only problem with a notebook cover like that is that it's kind of impersonal. You know, it's kind of generic.
If only there was some way to personalize it.
Is there?
In fact, if you're at Jenny Bick Bookbinding, they will engrave the thing for you with some words of your choice, which I knew going in, so I was prepared with my phrase, and in fact filled out a little form and had this thing embossed with the phrase "ready for nothing, ready for everything," which is my little family's slogan after my daughter when she was 3 years old, like kind of getting ready for the day, just said that out of nowhere, and I thought that's the coolest thing I think anyone's ever said.
From the mouths of babes, am I right?
Exactly, and now I've got it...
trying to talk to the
cliches. Yes, no, I was. Okay. I found that very relatable. That's why I didn't even blink an eye. And so now it's on this cover of this notebook, and it's just a very, you know, they have the engraving station in the back. I was basically talking to the guy who was going to go and do it, and after we talked about it, really cool. So
now, when I envision a guy at an engraving station, I'm envisioning like a guy affecting a train conductor look, not just in his dress but also in his mug. Is that accurate?
He had an apron that appeared to that a butcher in the 19th century would not have been foreign to such an apron, and he may have had a jaunty cap of some sort.
Nice,
on.
Nice. I called it.
It was all there.
Yeah.
It was all there.
I mean, so, if you're going to go to Jenny Bick, you're going to want to see a jaunty cap. Jaunty cap, Jenny Bick, DuPont Circle, DC.
Let's do this again next week, Adam. What do you say?
I've lost my mind, Ted.